Open up your Bibles to John. And as you're finding your place in John, the beginning, I think we are in the third chapter. I just want to remind you, we had some people come out. I want to remind you, what I'm asking you to do is to give 2 hours. Somebody say 2 hours. And I'm asking you to come to sign ministry. It's at 10 o'clock. Be here a quarter to 10, just from 10 to 12, and just hold a sign. It's a little nippy in the morning. Bring a jacket, but just come and hold a sign and wave to people and show them that you have a church that's alive. You know what? And this is for people of all ages. I don't care how young you are. I don't care how old you are. But Pastor, No. We'll get, listen, you want to sit down, we'll get you a nice seat out there, put it right out there. But you can stand out there and smile. You can sit out there and smile. You know, sometimes we think, oh, that's not for me. No. God has called us all to do something. Yeah. We qualify. Well, I can't because I, and then whatever the excuse is. No. Let's all be part of what God's doing. Amen. I said, let's all be part of what God's doing. Amen. And just, you know, I'm not getting off this. Amen. Just, you know, I'm not getting off this. Why? Because I believe that there needs to be a great number of people who show up Sunday from our church and just explode this church in ministering to our community. And this is one of the most effective ways. So do what you can, figure it out, and be part of that, because that is a blessing. All right, have you found your place in John yet? John chapter 3. And last week, we saw this reality of Jesus speaking to Nicodemus and explaining to him how the kingdom of God works. So I'll say it like this. If you get born once, you're in trouble. Why? Because you're born into the race of Adam. You're born into the flesh. You're born of corruptible sin. So if you get born once, you're in trouble. If you get born twice, you're okay. Okay. Yeah, but Pastor, I just think that God is merciful and God is loving and God's not going to send anybody to hell. Okay, well, actually, we're going to look at that in a minute. But there's great ignorance in the world. And I'm going to show you today how everyone, first of all, hell's real. Your spirit cannot die. It will live forever. The only choice is, where are you going to live? Okay, where is your spirit going to live? Is it going to live with God, or is it going to live with Satan? Well, here's the deal. You will choose where you're going to live. And your choice will be based on who you want to hang out on this earth. If you would like to hang out with God on this earth, then you get to hang out with God in heaven. If you are like just rejecting God on this earth, then see, watch this. When you die, how many know in a basketball game? How many know how many quarters are in a basketball game?
Four.
How many know how many minutes are in each quarter?
12.
Okay. So after, watch this. In the fourth quarter, if there are 6 minutes left, it doesn't make any difference who's winning, who's losing. Why? Because there's 6 minutes left. But when there's 30 seconds left, how many know it's starting to get close? And you know what? Some of you have been to basketball games. At the end, they blow this big horn. Right? And at that point in time, everybody's looking up at the scoreboard, and whoever has the most points wins. Hello? There's a time where the refs say, and it doesn't make any difference. All the people on the team, all the people in, you know, what if your team's losing? What if you're, it goes, and you're down by 2 points? What if everybody at Staples said, no, we want 5 more minutes? I mean, it doesn't make any difference what everybody in Staples says or thinks. Hello? So in the end, at the end, there will be people who are, you know, it's interesting because in John Bevere's, I think we still have it for sale over there. It's a great, it's a story. And it's a story of, what's that? Affabel. Go over there and get it. Cost you, you know, $12 and it's worth it. Awesome. In his depiction of the end days, the end times, the judgment, some people who think they're going to heaven aren't going to heaven. And they plead with God, and when God says, no, you've already made their choice, very biblical, they start to curse God, and they start to gnash their teeth. Listen, in the end days, God's not going to ask you where you want to go. He's asking everybody where they want to go right now. But when the end happens, He's not asking anybody. Listen to me. All He's going to do is look up at the scoreboard and see what the scoreboard says. And whatever the scoreboard says, that's what's going to happen. Now, here. Grace isn't, there's a time. We live in a time of grace right now. That's why people are so arrogant against God. They curse God, they mock God, they just evil. Even some people who call themselves Christians. Notice what I said. Some people who call themselves Christians. Because God is too busy looking how we act to listen to what we're saying. You say, yeah, whoa, Pastor. I thought we were saved by grace, not by works. That's absolutely true. It's absolutely true. There's nothing you can do to save you. But your actions are indication of your heart. I want to say this again. This is New Testament. This is New Testament. Your actions are indications of your heart. I'm going to give you another chance to say amen. Your actions are indication of your heart.
Amen.
Your actions are an indication of your heart.
Amen.
I can show you in the Bible where it says that those who love me will obey my commandments.
Yes.
Someone wants to say, oh, you're talking about being saved by works. I'm not being saved by works. Paul said, you know what? You want to talk about your faith? I'll show you my faith by my works. We're not talking, you're not saved by your works. But your attitude, your actions are indication of who you really love.
Amen.
Amen? I say all that as an intro to where we're going. You're born once, you're in trouble. You're born twice, you're okay. Because when you get born again, the blood of Jesus covers you from all your sin. Amen. And that's what he's talking to. That was last week. That's what he's talking to Nicodemus about. He's saying, hey, you got to get born again. Okay. And Nicodemus is like, I don't understand born again. He's like, what are you talking about? You don't understand born again. You see the wind, how it blows. You know, how come, you know, you don't have to understand it all, Nicodemus. Just understand it works. Does that make sense? You see the results of the wind. You know what? If you humble out and ask Jesus in your life, you will see the difference in your heart. And that will come across in your life. You'll be more forgiving. You'll be more caring. You'll be more generous. You'll be more gracious. You'll start to look more and more like Jesus. Things that didn't bug you, they'll start to bother you. Man, that used to never bug me, but now it bugs me. Well, don't get mad. That's a good thing, amen. How many evil should bug you?
Oh, that's right.
See, it was crazy when you used to do crazy things and you didn't care. Amen. That's not good. All right. So he tells Nicodemus, no. Watch this. Verse 9. Chapter 3, verse 9. Nicodemus answered and said to him, how can these things be? Jesus answered and said to him, are you the teacher of Israel and do not understand these things? Most assuredly I say to you, we speak what we know and testify in what we have seen, and you do not receive our witness? How many know Jesus is straight up? If I told you earthly things and you do not believe, how will you believe if I tell you heavenly things? Verse 13. No one has ascended into heaven but he who came down from heaven, that is the Son of Man who is in heaven. And watch this, verse 14. And as Moses lifted up the serpent in the wilderness, even so must the Son of Man be lifted up, that whoever believes in him should not perish, but have eternal life.
Amen.
That whoever believes in him should not perish. You see, Pastor, all you have to do is believe. Wait a minute. These chairs are nice. Okay. Did I believe that that chair would sustain me? How do you know that? Because you saw my what? My action. This word believe, that's what he's talking about. See? It's not just a mental assent. It's not just a mental assent. It's a action that God is looking for. It's a trust that we must have in God. For whoever believes in him should not perish but have eternal life. For God's, of course, famous, probably the most famous scripture in all the Bible. For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believes in him should not perish but have what? Everlasting life. Now look at verse 17. For God did not send his Son into the world to condemn the world. Oh, we need to hear that. For God did not send his Son into the world to condemn his world. The purpose of God, Jesus didn't come to condemn. What did he come? Look at the next verse. But that the world through him might be saved. He didn't come to condemn. He came to save. He didn't come to condemn. He came to save. He didn't come to condemn. He came to save. You know what? He didn't come to paint the building. He came to do concrete on the building.
Oh, there it is. Come on.
Something completely different. He didn't come to condemn. He came to save.
Amen.
Now watch this. He who believes in him is not condemned.
Yes.
Why is he who believes in him is not condemned? Why is he who believes in him is not condemned? Why aren't you condemned? Look at verse 15, and there's your answer. Come on, somebody tell me the answer. Why is somebody who believes in him not condemned? Look at verse 15. Whoever believes should not perish but have eternal life. Because he believes.
Amen. Thank you, Pastor.
It's so simple. I think you were looking for a more complicated answer. Why is he who believes not condemned? Because he believes. So simple. He got born again. He believes. Watch this. But he who does not believe is condemned. What's that next word? See, watch this. Let's say all these people in this section, they don't believe.
Whoa. Come on, Pastor.
Listen, they've all been born only one time. So when you die, you're in trouble because you don't have the blood of Jesus that washes you with sin, from sin. All these people in the center section, they're all believers. Guess what? You're in good shape. All these people over here, they don't believe. Listen, you're already condemned. When you were born, you were condemned already. That's why Jesus sent his son.
Amen.
Not to condemn the world, but to save the world.
Amen.
That's why he sent his son. Because everyone is condemned. That's why he sent his son. That's why when his son said, oh, Father, you know what? Is there any way? The Father's like, there is no other way. You are the way. Jesus is like, all right, then I'm going to the cross. Why? Because everybody was worth it. Are you learning something? Okay, he didn't come to condemn, he come to save. He who believes in him is not condemned, but he who does not believe is condemned already because he has not believed in the name of Holy Begotten Son of God. There's only one name under heaven by which men might be saved. There's only one name under heaven by which men might be saved. There's only one name under heaven by which men might be saved. That's it. And there's a lot of people who will reject that. And God is willing to say, okay, you don't want to live with me, you don't have to. He's willing to say that. Why? Because he doesn't want a bunch of robots who are forced to doing what they don't want to do. He wants relationship. That's what he wants. Now watch this. Look at verse 19. And this is the condemnation. Oh, this is. See, can I tell you what? Satan wants to throw a bunch of smoke screen and convince you that you're not as wicked as you are. Hello? You know, I'm not that bad. I'm not that bad. I'm not that bad. I'm not that bad. You know, he's bad. She's bad. They're bad, but I'm not that bad. Right? Right? Watch this. And this is the condemnation, that the light has come. This is what's going on. The light has come. Jesus came into the world, and men loved darkness rather than light because their deeds were evil. They just said, I don't care what God wants me to do. I like my life being evil, and I'm going to cling to that. That's the condemnation. That's what he said. That is it. And this is the condemnation, This is why they're condemned. Because Jesus came into the world to save them. Jesus throws them, they're drowning. Jesus throws them a life vest, and they throw the vest back at God and says, I don't want it. I reject you. I don't believe in you. I don't care about it. I come up with my own theology, my own way, and I'm going to be fine on my own. Well, you are going to be fine on your own. Until the end of the fourth quarter. Listen, can I tell someone that, can I testify the truth? The fourth quarter is coming. And it doesn't make any difference if 1,000 people don't believe it, or 10,000, or a million, or 2 million, or it doesn't make any difference. Listen, there were a whole bunch of people who thought it wasn't going to rain. Listen to me very carefully. Everything in the Word that God says is going to happen is going to happen. Everything He says is going to happen is going to happen. A bunch of it that He said was going to happen has already happened. Hello. I remember reading in the Bible that there was a time, listen to me, where the Bible says in the end days, you're not going to be able to buy bread unless you have the mark. I remember when in technology was like, how is that going to happen? Hello? How many know, you know what? I went to Arizona recently, and when I went to Arizona, I used my credit card. You know what? Got some gas, got some Doritos and some orange vanilla soda. You know, in Arizona somewhere, you know, whatever. I was right on the border. We drove straight through, and then in the morning, you know what, we went to some breakfast place. It was really good. Used the credit card again. Then when I went to lunch, guess what? You know, they said, no, I had money. They didn't allot the money to me. Why? Because they thought somebody from Arizona took it from me in California and was buying, you know, orange vanilla soda on the way. What's that? Pancakes, right, exactly, and pancakes. I had waffles. But anyway, it's not the point. The point is that at some point in time, they're not at the pancake place. They're someplace in California, you know, figuring it out and saying, oh, I tell you what, we're cutting pastor off. And guess what? I couldn't buy it. And listen, right now, in America, they're figuring out, you know why? Because they don't appreciate cash. Why? Because cash, they can't tax cash. And they want to make it where every transaction is taxed. You know what? You ever buy a car? You buy a new car, you pay tax on that car. You sell that car and sell it to somebody else, they pay tax on the same car that's already been taxed. And then, watch this, that guy drives it for 2 more years and then sells it to somebody else, and they tax the car the third time. They want every transition taxed. They don't want any transition not taxed. And they're going to figure it out. And at some point in time, they're going to say, oh, we care so much. There's these people stealing and stuff, and we're going to make sure there's no more stealing anymore. And there's going to be no cash. And it's going to be great for you. Okay. And they're setting you up. They're setting you up. Because what's my point? My point is, there was a day where people are like, that ain't going to happen. You always going to be able to buy some bread. How many know there's going to be a day, and if you don't have a mark, you ain't going to be able to buy bread. right now, there's company over in England, and you know when they come, the people have a chip in their forehand, and they scan it, and that opens them into the door. And it's so convenient because then they go to get a snack for lunch, and they don't have to. They just scan their card, and boom, automatically. How many are you young enough that you don't really even know what cash or a check is anymore? Okay, none of you. Okay, but they're all over there. No, seriously. You know, Tamara, the other day, she went to write a check for something, and they said, no, you can't pay by check anymore. No, not like 10 years from. I'm talking about today, this last week. We don't want a check. Pastor, what's your point? I could go on. I don't have time. I could go on and on and on. But listen to me. I go on and on. Everything that God says is going to happen is going to happen. And there's going to be a day that right now you can reject God and he's going to give you another day. And you're going to reject God. He's going to give you another day. You're going to reject. Your friend's going to reject God. He's going to give you another day. And another day, another day. Why? Because there's still time on the. See, it's still fourth quarter. Here's the deal. There will be a day when the fourth quarter is done with. It's done. Everything God has said in his word is going to happen. It's going to happen. A bunch of it has already happened. Verse 20. We're going somewhere with this. Verse 19. And this is the condemnation, that the light has come into the world. That was Jesus. And man love darkness rather than light. You've got to make a choice. You know, Tyler, who's that old guy that I like? He's got a kind of twangy, funny voice, like Bob Dylan. It's like Bob Dylan said, you got to serve somebody. You got to serve somebody. And you can serve whoever you want to serve, but you know what? Listen to me, but just because you have a big talk doesn't mean you have a good walk. Hallelujah, hallelujah, hallelujah. Amen. And I love people who say hallelujah. But I want us to walk like we talk. Amen. And men love darkness rather than light. Can I tell you what? Love light rather than darkness. Because the light is where there's life. The life is where the light is, where Jesus is. Best life, get serious about God, give him all your life, be obedient to him, love him, serve him, praise him. You're going to have a good life. And when the buzzer rings, you're going to look up and you're going to say, woo! How many know when we get to heaven, that's when the fun's really going to start? Amen. Watch this. Because they love darkness rather than light, because their deeds were evil. And everyone practicing evil hates the light and does not come to the light, lest his deeds should be exposed. Listen, there's something about just coming to the light. You know, you come to the light, and guess what? I know none of you understand this concept, but I know you have friends that understand this concept. You get pulled over by the cops. You got some drugs in the back seat, and they turn on this really bright light. You know why? Because they want to expose what was in the darkness. The light exposes what's in the darkness. You can sneak around right now, but there's going to be a day when all that is going to be exposed. So here's what God's saying. Just come to the light now
expose it. So what? Amen. You know, God already knows about it already. Just confess. And watch this. And God isn't vindictive. You come to the light and God just says, oh, I'm so glad. I love. God is like the prodigal son's father. In that story, you know who God is? The father. That son just even starts to, he's just like, oh man, I'm just going to be. But there's a sign of repentance, of recognizing. He recognized, oh my goodness, I was an idiot. The life that I'm leading is junk. And so he turns around, starts coming. He don't even get up the walkway that his dad's not running to him. That's the picture of God. So yeah, you know, there's an initial, I get that. But go through it, amen. It's Satan lying to you that God is punitive. He's not punitive. He just loves you. All you got to do is turn, and he's going to be hanging on your neck. And notice what he does. You know what? You're still busy talking, and he's already figuring out what your shoe size is, what your robe size is, what your ring size is. He's ordering that the fatted calf be taken care of. Do you understand what I'm saying? See, who in the world doesn't want to? You ought to be running to the Father. Does that make sense? Somebody hear that good message? Turn to Romans. Say, Pastor, that's so controversial. Listen, let's just speak the truth, amen? I said, let's just speak the truth, amen? Amen. Romans chapter 1, look at this. Verse 22, professing to be wise, they became fools. Be careful that you don't get too big for your britches. You know, oh, calculations, you know what, I'm going to go to university and I'm going to learn all the, oh, watch it, Jackson. Let's go back to verse 20. For since the creation of the world, his invisible attributes are clearly seen, being understood by the things which are made, even his eternal power of the Godhead, so that they are without excuse. The main point I wanted to make here is people, some people love darkness. They won't have an excuse. They could turn to God if they want, but they don't want to. Because although they knew God, they did not glorify him as God. Because they knew God, they did not glorify him as God. How did they know God? They know God every morning when the sun rises. They just won't glorify him. They just won't even admit that there is a God, some of them. But they know. Nor, watch this, were they thankful. Remember I taught this, gratefulness, such a key. But became futile in their thoughts. Became futile in their what?
Thoughts.
Futile means empty. You know, listen, just because somebody acts like they know what they're talking about doesn't mean they know what they're talking about. Just because they think they know what they're talking about doesn't mean they know what they're talking about. You know what? Jesus knew what he's talking about. He is the light. He is the beginning and the end. He is where wisdom, he is the source of wisdom. He is the source of life. He is the source of peace. He is the source of joy. He is the source of fullness of life. Where else would we go? Peter says to Jesus, you are the one, you are the one who has words of life. Nobody else has it. No one else has it. But people think, oh, you know what, I'm going to listen to this guy. I'm going to listen to that guy. Listen to Jesus. Listen, in your life, can I get practical? In your life, you ought to be reading the Bible every day. You ought to be listening to good preaching every day. You ought to put yourself under good teaching all the time throughout the day. Amen. They became futile in their thoughts and were foolish, and their hearts were darkened. Darkened, it doesn't happen overnight. But you reject God, you reject God, you reject God, and you start thinking all these other people are so smart, and you become very foolish. It doesn't happen overnight. But it's a process. Now 22, professing to be wise, they became, see, it's this process, they became fools and changed the glory of incorruptible God to the image made like corruptible man and birds and four-footed animals and creeping things. It is crazy today. This is what we're living today. It's crazy today. We have politicians. Just heard one politician. He's running for president right now. So, Pastor, who is it? No, you figure it out. Listen to what they say. And somebody raise a hand and ask him, you know what, about this thing about, you know what, about abortion. And he says, well, I just morally don't want to make a choice for someone. I think it's moral for them to make that choice. And I'm not going to make it. I'm thinking, wow, that's weird. You know what? We make all kinds of choices, you know, tell people how fast to drive on the freeway, tell people they got to buckle up. You know what? In some states, they'll ever tell you, you can't drink too much soda, you know, per day. Wow, isn't that weird? All kinds of areas, they feel empowered to tell people what to do. But in that area, all of a sudden, we get, you know, self-righteous and say, well, I can't tell anybody. We're talking about we're talking about a life of a child that, you know what, that right now, nowadays, you know what, children are, you know what, I mean, 20 years ago, many children that were born premature, they'd die. They're not dying anymore. I mean, it's idiotic not to confess this is a child. You see the nose, you see the ears, you see the mouth, you see the whole body. Pastor, I think you're, no, listen, don't get on me because I tell you the truth. And our government right now is allowing children in the third trimester, you know what, they get them out almost to be born and then they crush their skulls. Why? Because they can't get the child out without crushing the skull. The skull's too big. Someone said, well, we can't. Who am I to make a choice? Oh, my goodness. And you make a choice, you're gonna arrest people for not wearing a seatbelt. Right. Really? Where was I? God gave them up to uncleanliness and to the lust of their hearts to dishonor their bodies among themselves, who exchanging the truth of God for a lie. Exchanging the truth of God for a lie. Listen, all eyes up here. That's their exchange. Yeah. Yeah. This whole chapter is talking about their responsibility in what they are going to live, the consequence of their responsibility. And exchanging the truth for a lie, and worshiped, thank you. Verse 23, and into the image of like corruptible men and birds and footed and four-footed animals and creeping things. We are going to, thank you, I got back to my point. We are going to, you know what, like totally care about saving, you know what, you know, the fish or the whales. Here's a thought. Can we save all the kids that are just killed in America, here's the thought. How about we save them? Yeah.
So, Pastor, you don't care about animals? Oh, are you kidding me? Come over to my house. Tell me I don't care about animals. Really? Oh, I care about animals. No, I kind of say that jokingly, but the truth is, I do care about animals. But something is messed up when we care more about animals and their protection. Listen, go ahead and just go out and kill a deer. Go to the one of these. Just kill a bear or deer or whatever. You know what? And see if they don't lock you up. Why? But you know what? But you can kill a child in his third trimester, and they're going to fight for you to not be locked up. You know, this is a true story. True story. I didn't know that. Well, you know it now. In New York, there used to be a day where if somebody was robbing a liquor store and a woman was pregnant, and that person shot that woman, and it killed her and killed the baby, guess what? I'm not talking about 8 years ago. I'm talking about like just last year or the year before. That person would be accused of double homicide. Guess what the politicians in New York said? They said, no. We're going to make it single homicide from now on. Why? But I tell you what, they care about the birds and they care about the four-footed animals, do they not? He said, Pastor, why are you getting on this? Because, you know what, we've got to stand up for what's right. Church, we've got to stand up for what's right. We've got to stand up for what's right. Well, Pastor, but I've gone to church all my life. I never heard a pastor talk like this. Listen, God help pastors that won't teach and train their guys. This is the word of God I'm teaching you. It's saying that there's this corruptness that is taking place, and they care about these animals. They make gods out of these animals, but they don't even care about what's really important. That's what it's saying. Therefore, God gave them up to uncleanliness. Listen, there's a time where God just says, enough. In the lust of their hearts to dishonor their bodies among themselves and exchange the truth for a lie. They do that. That's their choice. And worship and serve the creature, thank you, rather than the creator. They serve who is blessed forever. Amen. For this reason, God gave them up to vile passions, for even the women exchanged the natural use for what is against nature. But Pastor, I thought it was, no, I'm just reading you what the Bible says. Likewise, also men, leaving the natural use of a woman, burning their lust for another, men with men, committing what is shameful. Yeah, but Pastor, I thought you're... See, that's, Pastor, that's unloving. No. Uh-uh. You know what's unloving? For pastors not to teach the word. That's one of the reasons why we had Beckett here. Listen, we don't have to be condemning in how we present the word, but we need to be truthful. Yeah, but Pastor, I know somebody in my family, and they're sweet. I know. But they're probably miserable. You know the Bible says, be careful when everyone speaks good about you. You know the Bible says, it's shameful. And receiving in themselves the penalty of their error, which is due. And even as they did not like
to retain God in their knowledge, God gave them over to a debased mind to do those things which are not fitting. Being filled with all unrighteousness, watch this, sexual immorality, wickedness, covetousness, malice. Now we're not talking about a homosexuality. Watch this. We're talking about all kinds of stuff. Yeah. Sexual immoral. Yeah. You know, there's a lot of sexual immorality that isn't homosexuality. Right. Yeah. Wave your hand like this if you know what I'm talking about. Being filled with all unrighteousness, sexual immorality, wickedness, covetousness. You know what covetousness is? Where you're jealous of somebody else, you want what they have. Oh, how, you know what I mean? It was like, oh. Maliciousness, full of envy, murder, strife, deceit, evil-mindedness. They are whisperers. Oh, let's stop here. You know what that? That's you're talking about somebody else. Here, I'm going to just be straight up. Shut up. No, really, shut up. Who are you to talk about somebody else? Why don't you figure out your own life instead of figuring out somebody else's? No, really, it just ticks me off in the church how, you know, people are just gossip about other people. You know what I mean? Criticize. And half the time, they're criticizing the leadership of the church. I don't think, you know what? I think you ought to read your Bible and see what you're dealing with here. Because this stuff is evil. Backbiters, haters of God, violent, proud, boasters, inventors of evil things, disobedient to parents. Oh my goodness. Discerning, untrustful, unloving, unforgiving, unmerciful, who know the righteous judgments of God, that those who practice such things are deserving of death. Not only do the same, but also approve of those who practice them. Now, I'm going to take this up next week, but listen. Oh, well, let's go into the next verse. Therefore, you are unexcusable. Everybody say unexcusable. Oh, man. Whoever you are, who, watch this, because this is so taken out of context. Oh, you who judge, for in whatever you judge another, you condemn yourself, for you who judge practice the same things. Let me stop it right there. People walk around and think, oh, put it in context. Here's what he's saying. You have judged that all these things on the list, including homosexuality, there's nothing wrong with it. So you are committing sexual sin, and then those people over there are committing sexual sin, and you say, I'm okay, you're okay. Hello? That's what he's saying. You're judging others. Watch this in context. We've got to hermeneutically break this down to understand what the Bible's saying. Here's what he's saying. You're judging these others, but what he's saying is you're judging these others in there's nothing wrong with what you're doing. And I'm doing it too. That's what he's saying. All these people, and you're going to judge, you know what, Brian's doing that, buddy, you know what, he's it's okay. You know what, and he's doing that, and they're doing that, and they got this stuff, but you know what, who am I to judge you? Who am I to judge you? You're doing okay, and guess what? I'm doing the same thing, you know what, because after all, you know what, I mean, let's not get crazy about this. You know what, I mean, everybody watches a little pornography on their computer, right? And everybody whispers a little bit, right? I'm saying, I'm not going to get on you. See, I'm judging you, but here's how I'm judging you. I'm judging you and saying, that's okay. And I'm doing the same thing. And it's okay for me too.
That's what he's saying in this text. And God is saying, you know what I'm telling you all? You know what you all are? You all, here's what I'm going to judge it. You all are inexcusable. Because I've told you it's wrong. And if it's wrong, it's wrong. You are the clay. I make the rules. I am God. And that's where our society is. And that's, to be honest with you, where many churches are. And nobody wants to say anything. So we're just going to not say anything and not say anything and not say anything and not say anything and not say anything. And teach about nothing. And not ever go to this passage. But where did I leave this passage from? From John chapter 3. Where God says, let me tell you why people are like that. Because they love the darkness. That's why they're condemned. Wait, let's put it all in context. What did Jesus say? I did not come to what? Condemn. But I came to what?
Save.
But what does man have to do? Here's what every single one of us got to do in this room. You know what? If we are going to live with Jesus forever, we have to come to Jesus and say, God, I need you. And whatever you say is right is right. And whatever you say is wrong is wrong. And I watch this going right back. I believe in you. I'm not just going to say it out of my mouth. I'm going to put my trust in you that when you tell me to forgive, I'm going to forgive. When you tell me to be generous, I'm going to be generous. When you tell me to be, and he tells all of us to be generous, tells all of us to forgive, tells all of us to walk in love, tells all of us not to be embittered. Amen. So I'm just going to do what you say. But here's the thing. I'll end it in a good thing. I don't know how much time is left, but I do believe we're in the fourth quarter for sure. Listen, for all you know, there is 30 seconds left in the clock. Now is not the time. I'm going to tell you this. I said this about 6 months ago, but I'll say it again. Now is not the time to have 1 foot in, 1 foot out. Now is not the time to have 1 foot in, 1 foot out. Amen. Now is the time to have both feet in. And to just say, no, I don't want that life anymore. Somebody's still glad they came tonight. Father, we thank you for your word. We thank you that it sets us free. We thank you that that correction comes. Father, we pray for our society that there would be a major turning from the ungodly, self-righteous people that are walking around talking about what's right and what's wrong. And they're doing it from no biblical context. Father, help pastors to stand up and start to be real beacons of light. Not in a unloving way, not in a condemning way, but in a truthful way. In Jesus' name I pray, amen.